a safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken with Him, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
So glad that you could join us tonight, and thank you for making Cradle My Heart part of your Sunday evening. I'm Kim Cotola, and I would say happy almost New Year. Happy just past Christmas. It's an unusual year with this holiday midweek. I maybe mentioned that before our Christmas break, but I know that it seems like we've been in church a lot, you know, with Christmas Eve services and then church again today and then the Christmas before Christmas Eve or the Sunday before Christmas Eve services. Pastors have been working hard over this last week. And so we're offering the Hope in the Morning Bible as our giveaway this month. And it's a new product from Zondervan, one that I'm really excited about because I'm really humbled, actually, to have been named one of the contributors for this Bible. I wrote a few of the devotions that are there. And there are some names that you will know, Christian authors. Dave Brannan has written some of the devotions. If you read Our Daily Bread, as you're a part of your devotional life, Dave Brannan is one of the contributors. Shelley Beach, who's written a lot about the caregiving journey. Sue Foster, who's actually a friend also. Shelley and Sue both are, but Sue Foster has a wonderful ministry to help survivors of loved ones who commit suicide. This Hope in the Morning Bible is really special. And so we're giving you a chance to win it. And I want to make it really simple, okay? So here's what you're going to do tonight to enter this drawing for the new Zondervan Hope in the Morning Bible. Just call us and give a shout out to your pastor because you appreciate his hard work this Christmas season. I mean, they are working hard while the rest of us are thinking about relaxing and having a holiday, right? So all you have to do is just call and say, hey, thank you, Pastor Malela. He's our pastor at my church at St. Paul Lutheran in Peachtree City, Georgia. Great job. Thank you. We appreciate you. Okay? That's it. It's just that simple. 800-811-3003 is the number. You call, and then we'll get your name, and we'll enter you in the drawing. You can also sign up for it online. If you go to cradlemyheart.org, you'll find a listing there that gives you more details about the Bible, a link to read about it on the Zondervan website, etc. Just leave a comment on the website, and we'll enter your name in the drawing, too. Or you can go to facebook.com/cradlemyheart, leave a comment there. A few folks have entered that way, too. But the drawing will end on the 31st. So this is your next to the last call, because tonight's the 29th. We're live. We're back in the studio. We've been off for a few weeks. And the number is 800-811-3003. You can call at any time during the program tonight. Just give a shout out to your pastor and let him know that you appreciate it, his hard work this Christmas season. One of the things that one of the devotionals that I contributed for this Hope in the Morning Bible has to do with the passage of Romans chapter 5 in verses 1 through 5, which outline this progression of suffering leading to perseverance, character, and hope. And I'd like to read to you what the thoughts were there, because this may give you some new hope and encouragement tonight, especially if you're tuning in because you know that our guest tonight is going to talk about this issue of multiple abortions. I mean, you know, the people who promote abortion to us tell us it should be safe and legal and rare. And so by saying that, they even increase shame. Everyone knows that that doesn't ease anybody's suffering to say that it should be rare. And if it wasn't rare in your life, if you had 2, 3, 4, more than 4, 5, 6 abortions, the shame becomes the hallmark of the aftermath. And so this, I hope, will add to your hope tonight. I simply said, when God called Isaiah to be his prophet as recorded in Isaiah 6, Isaiah's eyes were opened not only to the glory of God in heaven, but also to the abject sinfulness of his own soul. And then, having seen that glory, he felt doomed. Yet God immediately provided this purging coal of fire directly to Isaiah's lips to take away his guilt, atone for his sins, and commission him for service. Glory and painful suffering tightly bound in God's realm. God has a holy purpose in our suffering. The suffering we feel after someone close to us dies can help us persevere, which produces character, which leads to hope, according to Romans 5:3-5. So as you ponder what you have suffered before, during, and after the death of your loved one, especially if you had a part in that because of abortion, it's important to recognize that our suffering is also meant to produce hope in us as we repent and trust God to redeem. Some suffering is a result of the force of evil, as God allows us to be sifted as wheat. You can read more about that in Luke 22. But that goes on so that God will test us, so that we know what we truly believe in our deepest heart of hearts. Both Job, who the Bible says was blameless, and Peter, Jesus' disciple and close friend, experienced this suffering of sifting. We know them today as some of God's strongest people in the Scripture. So when we believe that we were abandoned or punished by God when he permitted our loved one to die, we only add to our suffering. As you think about the emotional pain you may be experiencing, realize that God is the answer, for God is good. In our suffering, we are to persevere and keep on believing in God's goodness, and that's how we gain the hope that God promises. Know that God is good, that our loved ones are not forever destroyed, which is the deepest worry I think that many of us face. Since God is good, we don't stand condemned for our deficits, the punishment we may feel we deserve. God is good. Justice will prevail. Mercy will reign. And we can be honest with each other, telling others that God protects us and provides care so our hearts can heal. And everything lost one day will be restored. No matter how much you are suffering, keep believing that God is good. Our guest tonight is Joyce Zunas, and I want to give you the chance to get to know Joyce by hearing her story. And also, if you want to call and speak with Joyce, that's great too. And of course, the phones are open for your pastor shout out here at 800-811-3003. You've got to get with us on the air if you want to be entered in the drawing to win the Bible. Okay. That's the best way to do that. And so you get ready to call as we bring in Joyce. And Joyce, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Kim, it's a delight to be with you.
How was your Christmas? I hope it was happy.
It was very happy. We engaged in our traditional wrapping paper battle after all the presents had been unwrapped, and it always makes it a special time.
Oh, so what do? You wad it up and throw it at each other?
You know, it started several years ago, but yes, and it is just
like
a great
it.
Way.
That's fun. That's awesome. Well, Joyce, you and I have been acquainted through the years because your powerful testimony, I guess I probably first heard your story maybe 10 years ago when I was working on Life Redeemed, and you've been so generous to share your story, and I thank you for that because it's personal. All of our stories are, but yours, the parts that you share, very personal, and I'm sure it costs you a little something each time that you do share it. So thank you for being willing to tell us what went on in your life. And we've got just about a minute before our first break, so maybe set the stage by just telling us what you think the most important thing for people to realize about your story is as we get ready to hear the details.
You've already said it, and that is God is good, and that he can take the ugliest of sins and the most beautiful people and make us white as snow. We're not about the exterior. He's all about the interior and how he wants each of us to walk and to know his love and to receive that hope through that character building and that perseverance. And often it does point back to suffering, and I have much to share about what I chose to do with my 7 children and what I found in shame, but most importantly, what I found in the hope in him.
Amen. All right. Well, Joyce Zunis, we are eager to hear your story. And after a short break, we're also eager to get your phone calls on the air tonight if you're listening and you want to be entered in a drawing for the Hope in the Morning Bible from Zondervan. Call us at 800-811-3003. Of course, you can ask a question or greet Joyce, our guest, but you can also enter the drawing just by giving a shout-out to your pastor for all his hard work in the Christmas season. Off the air, Kathy wanted us to know about what's going on with Pastor Bob and a new church in St. Louis Park, Minnesota, the Expedition Church, and that's awesome. We're happy to pass that along. But if you want to be entered in the drawing, you've got to come on the air and give that shout-out personally, all right? So that's the number, 800-811-3003, and we're looking forward to hearing from you tonight, along with our guest, Joyce Zunis, here on Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003. To Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003.
Thank you so much for being with us tonight, and thank you for your support for your pastor, because a few folks have called with a shout-out, even though they didn't want to win our premium tonight. That's good, too. But we would love to have your voice in the program and love to get this Bible in your hands, the Zondervan Hope in the Morning Bible. So if you want to call and give a shout-out to your pastor for all the hard work over the Christmas season, please do that, and we'll enter your name in the drawing to win this. It's a beautiful new Bible. It just came out. It's less than a month old. It just came out right before Christmas, and there are wonderful articles for all sorts of issues that we deal with on this topic of grief and the need for hope. I know it would be a real blessing if somebody has recently lost a loved one, but, you know, grief knows no season. It comes at very unexpected moments, doesn't it? And so anybody who has experienced grief, I know, can benefit from reading this. And I was really overjoyed to be included and have the opportunity to write some of the devotions. So I'm a contributor to the Bible as well, and would just love to have you have a chance to win it. So call us with a shout-out to your pastor to enter the drawing, 800-811-3003, or enter online with a comment at cradlemyheart.org. And also, stay with us and join the conversation with our guest tonight, Joyce Zunis. Now, Joyce, well, it looks like maybe Kathy, let's see if we can go to the phones real quick and talk to Kathy before we resume with Joyce. Kathy, are you there?
I am, Kim.
Hi, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
I guess your call screener didn't realize that I had to get on the air in order to actually be entered for the Bible, so I'm calling back on the air.
Good, good. Well, I'm glad you stayed listening and that it worked. So who's your pastor, and who are you wanting to give a shout out to?
I want to give a shout out to Pastor Bob Amos. A couple of months ago, he started a new church called the Expedition Church. It's in St. Louis Park. It meets at Calvary. I'm not sure what the, but Calvary something or the other on. Minnetonkin Highway 169. It meets on Saturday nights at 5:30 p.m. We meet for a potluck, and then we have the worship at 6:30.
Okay, so what was the Christmas worship like then? Just a potluck? Same thing? Or?
We had a birthday party for Jesus.
There you go. All right, Kathy, well, great. So be sure to leave your information now with our call screener so we can put your name in the drawing, and we'll be drawing on it on the 31st, and we'll put it up on cradlemyheart.org. We'll announce the winner there, okay?
Thanks so much, Kim.
Thank you for listening. Glad to know you're out there. 800-811-3003. Call anytime tonight with a shout out for your pastor to say thanks for the Christmas work that you put in for us and our flock. And we'll enter your name in the drawing for the Hope in the Morning Bible by Zondervan. Joyce Zunis is our guest. And Joyce, you mentioned that the takeaway that you want before we even begin to tell your story and the details of it is that, God's love makes us white as snow. And this is important for us to know, especially if in the case of someone listening tonight, things happened beyond your control when you were young. Tell us really where the story began for you, Joyce.
I just want to tell the listeners that perhaps they too have a story like my own, that there's a wound in their heart that needs to heal, and that for myself, that wound did begin as a young child, and I learned to use Band-Aids to cover up a lot of the life experiences that I encountered. At the age of 6, I was sexually violated by a younger cousin. I didn't know what it was called. I just knew it was wrong. My dad was the baby of 12. We lived in North Carolina. Our vacation didn't involve going to the beach. It always involved going back to visit his family in South Carolina. And this was one of the households, I'm one of 5 kids, and as most parents like to do, kind of spread the love, they pass out and share the children with their other family members. And unfortunately, I often was placed with this family. They didn't know, my parents, what was happening in the cornfield behind where my cousin lived, but I sure did. And it took a while before I found the courage and my voice to tell him no more.
Oh, and I haven't experienced that, Joyce, but I know that in the aftermath, it's a very long fuse, as I've heard it described by some. The things that can happen and that circle back to that, it takes a long time, I think, to be revealed in the life of a person who has experienced. Is that fair to say?
It's most fair to say, as I'm going to move forward in the story, when I finally did participate in abortion recovery, probably 30 years later in my life, little did I know I wanted to find out from the Lord, how could a Christian gal choose to abort 7 of her children? And so after we went through the abortion recovery, then we backtracked and we pit stopped at the childhood sexual abuse. So much perhaps as other guests on the show may have shared, it's much like that onion, just that unwrapping, and slowly but surely, at least in my life, it did not pit stop or end at the sexual abuse, but that was a big part of it, and it very much altered how I embrace life. I have a very black and white personality, and as this little girl, I was raised in a household where my dad was a soldier and things were in order, and I was very afraid to tell him what had happened because I thought I had caused it. So I carried that secret well into my adult life. I was 29 years old when finally before the Lord that I even confessed it to him.
Mm. Joyce Zunis is our guest, and we'd love to have your conversation, your voice, I should say, in the conversation, if you'll join us at 800-811-3003, 800-811-3003. You can give a tip of the hat to your pastor tonight and thank them for their service in this Christmas season, and we'll enter you in a drawing for our Hope in the Morning Bible, which is our gift tonight, and it's really a healing resource. And Joyce, as we hear this, that you came from a Christian home, you came from a well-ordered home. You were you're a victim of childhood sexual abuse. Your first abortion was when you were a child, really.
Yes, it was. I was 15 years old. Back then I thought I was an adult. My body looked like I was an adult, but my way of thinking and my ways were not adult-like. And just several years before, the year was 1977, so just 4 years prior, abortion became legal in our country. And I do vaguely remember the celebration in the news and, women justifying and hooting and hollering, in a sense that they've now had this ability to choose or not to choose what was happening within their own body. And so I quickly sought out and became a consumer of this product called Choice.
And, you know, as we're thinking about this, the fact that, you know, your parents in the background, in a passive way, played a role in the abuse that you suffered because they weren't aware that it was happening, and yet they were putting you in this vulnerable position without even knowing it. But your mom played a more direct role in that first abortion, didn't she?
Yes, Mom did. I had a tendency to write love notes to my parents and to stash them under their pillows. And so not every day and not even every month, or I should say every week, but typically every month. And so when I discovered that I was pregnant, I had called and set up the abortion appointment. And finally, fear gave in to what was ahead. I had never even been to an OBGYN appointment. So I found the courage to tell my mom, but it wasn't through the spoken word, it was through the written word, and I wrote it in a note, and I put it under her pillow. Can you only imagine opening that note and what she read? You know, Joyce is pregnant. I'm one of five kiddos, and, you know, I was the one that there was at that time in my life. We had a lot of things ahead, a lot of aspirations, and being pregnant was not one of them. So she was not happy with what was going on in my life, inquired as to where the appointment had been scheduled, and it turned out that it was an OBGYN's office and not an abortion facility that I had called. And then she did step in, and she did set the appointment. And together, a week later, we went in, and she spoke the words to me as we entered that door, "We will never talk of this again." And no more than probably 15 minutes into this facility, and at that time, I thought it was just a health clinic. I didn't realize every single woman that was in that facility, well, at least in the line that they had formed, was going to abort their child. We saw someone we knew, and my mother was devastated because she wanted to keep that secret silent.
Joyce Zunis is our guest. 800-811-3003. Perhaps some aspect of Joyce's story resonates with your story. Maybe there was abuse in your past, or maybe your mother was one who stepped in and, although she perhaps should have known what was going on with you, didn't until it came to the point of an abortion appointment. And was it something that you experienced along with your mom? I would love to give you a chance to share your story tonight, too, at 800-811-3003. And, you know, the ground rules for sharing, you never have to give your name if you're not comfortable doing that. But I know there may be people listening who, like Joyce, have this experience and are healed and are able to talk about it. And if that describes you, please join the conversation. We're here tonight for you. 800-811-3003 is our number. I'm Kim Catola, and this is Cradle My Heart Radio. And we're also taking calls just for you to give a shout out to your pastor to say thanks for Christmas and all the work that they put in during the Advent and the Christmas and New Year's season. 800-811-3003, our callers tonight who go on air, we have a chance to win Hope in the Morning, a new Bible from Zondervan from us here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Catola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. My Heart with Kim Catola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
And happy almost 2014. I can't really get used to that year. It seems like I just got used to 2013. I don't know how that works every year, but anyway, here we are live tonight on the 29th of December. And a quick program note that next week we will have a recorded program for New Year's, but I hope that you will listen because I'm really excited about the ministry of Wayne Stiles. If you've ever had a chance to travel to Israel, you know that you just look at the Bible differently when you see the reality of where Jacob's well was located, and that this is where Jesus had that conversation with the woman at the well, and other places where Jesus walked. And Wayne is a Bible scholar who leads tours to the Holy Land regularly and helps us connect the healing journey with the geography of the story of God as Jesus walking on earth. And I know you'll be blessed by it, so be sure and tune in next Sunday night with Wayne Stiles, our guest. He's an executive vice president with Insight for Living, the Chuck Swindoll Bible Teaching Ministry as well. And we will be here for you. But tonight, on the 29th, we are live, and so our phones are open for you at 800-811-3003, and asking you to call and give a shout-out to your pastor and tell him thank you for all the hard work this Christmas week that has been going on at churches everywhere. And when you do that, we'll enter your name in a drawing to win the Hope in the Morning Bible, a brand new one from Zondervan, which has great devotionals for all sorts of grief and loss issues. I know it's a really wonderful resource, and more than that, just something for true healing and comfort if you're experiencing a season of loss right now. 800-811-3003 is our number. Please jump in and join our conversation. Our guest tonight is Joyce Zunis. And Joyce, you mentioned in passing that you had 7 abortions. And I know that, there's no variation of sin in God's economy. And Jesus himself said, if you're guilty of breaking any of the law, you've broken all of it. We don't get to pick and choose. We don't get to judge the severity of sin. And yet this idea that, you know, that there were 7 losses that you dealt with. Talk about that. And what goes in, what was going on in your mind? And what are the challenges then from recovering from multiple abortions?
Well, I'd like to go back and reconnect a few dots in reference to the sexual abuse to the young woman I became and the way it infiltrated my way of thinking, because
sure.
It very much impacted how I ended up making so many choices. You know, again, having a very black and white personality as this little girl, when this sexual violation was happening, I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know where to place it because I didn't know what to call it other than wrong. It was about when I was 9 years old, I attended a church-sponsored sleepover, and one of the leaders read to us this little story, and the moral of the story was purity. And I finally found out what I was not. I wasn't pure. So I no longer had home what I thought would be a safe place to tell my story, so I learned how to put those masks on and to be that little girl that my military father needed me to be, and my, you know, I'm the second to the, well, the oldest daughter, but the third child out of the 5. So my mom depended on me a lot to help keep things in order in the house. Well, at that sleepover, I slowly rolled over to the corner of the room in my sleeping bag, Kim, and I sank deep into its darkness, and I tied tight that pull string, and that became my place of refuge. And I stayed there until, on the break, I realized it wasn't 30-some years later, it was actually 23 years later, that I finally had a chance to talk to my Lord and my Savior about the things that had gone wrong in my life, whether by choice or by circumstance. And in that place of refuge, I became my own Savior, and wrong thinking began to enter. And so as things move forward, progressing now to that age of 15, when I find out I'm pregnant, again, there's something out there celebrated that women can find that are fast, easy, you know, give us 20 minutes and your life goes back to normal. Well, I can tell you it never went back to normal, but it was doable. And so I returned to, I think a second week in my 10th grade year, and 10th grade for me was the first year in high school. My second pregnant was when I was a junior, and this, my boyfriend, whom I dated for 5 years, though we never married, he was too a Christian, and, you know, I became the redeemer. I told him I knew how to, you know, take care of this problem, and I knew the routine, and I did. I stepped up, and I made the appointment, and I went. Each time I found myself in that crisis, or even walking through that door or laying on that table again, it's into that sleeping bag that I sank. And I stayed there for many years, and that, again, became my place of refuge, disconnecting. I was 26 at my last abortion. You know, I was very driven and determined that I would be the one to decide when I became a mommy. Not a positive reading on a pregnancy stick. What I didn't realize, Kim, was whether my child was 6 seconds, 6 years old, or even 60, I was and would forever be mommy. And it wasn't until a wrong telephone call. I had moved to South Florida with my husband in the late 80s, and at this time I had actually given birth to one child, but I had already had 7 total pregnancies at this point. Actually, eight pregnancies at this point, because I'd already had the full 7 abortions. I pulled out the Yellow Pages. I knew where to get that free pregnancy test. You know, the tests were quite expensive back then, and I, you know, looked up abortion in the Yellow Pages, wrote down the phone number, and made the phone call. Well, little did I know, it wasn't an abortion facility that I called, but a pregnancy care center. And my life, after I walked through those doors, has been forever changed. I knew immediately when I went in, things were different. It was pretty. There was soft music playing. People had smiles on their face, but it still dealt with abortion. And for me, I was still tucked away in that sleeping bag, so that part of me really was disconnected in great form of denial of my past experiences. But as I tested for that pregnancy, it came back negative. Back then, they weren't as sensitive as they are today, and I was invited to come back and retest, and I did 2 weeks later, and it was positive. Let me tell you, I have never had someone at that time in my life stand up, ask permission to hug me, and celebrate this life that I was carrying in my womb. Well, that life today is now 24 years old, and her name is Melina. And, you know, it wasn't until I began to carry my children to term that I began to really recognize the loss of what I did not have in my life. And it wasn't a problem that I had aborted years past. It were my children. And so having to come face to face, I always have had a great heart for ultrasound technicians, because I think for many of us, I'm not sure if it's part of your story too, Kim, but as they were doing my first ultrasound, I began to weep, because I was hearing my child's heartbeat. I didn't realize how soon in their little life so many things were happening, including that beating. And I just wept out of remorse, but also out of fear, because I thought, oh my gosh, pardon me, they're going to see the truth. The mask had fallen. Well, the technician thought I was so happy about the life in my womb. I was for that life, but I was absolutely devastated for the loss of the children that I did not have.
And the grieving journey, I know for me has been, you know, we hear this word grief, and before we experience it, and before we experience it in light of God's hope that is real and the ultimate reality, you know, I think our culture is so grief averse. Nobody wants to talk about it or go there. We think if we don't, we just won't have, you know, we won't have any bad feelings. We won't have anything unresolved. We can just soldier on in life. And yet grief has been such a gift. And for me to be able to go through that with the loss of the child that I aborted, has been, you know, one of the greatest blessings in my life. But I can't speak to what it would be like to have to experience this now multiple times. Has there been a challenge, or what has that grieving process looked like for you, Joyce?
Well, you know, the grieving process for me did take on a new face, depending on where I was in my walk with the Lord. As I grew and began to understand His love, and his open arms and the ability to accept and reach out and sit in his lap and just give him the whole story. You know, my heart is passion for media and projects like your radio show. It was another Christian radio program I turned on for the first time. I never even knew that they existed. This was, I think, in 1990. I just had my third living child. And this lady is talking about, her name is Carol Everett, and she was calling herself an ambassador for Christ. And in the same breath, she was talking about how 33,000 babies had been aborted under her leadership of several abortion facilities in the Dallas, Texas area, including her daughter Heidi. Kim, the hardest part for me was to say the number. I did not do the count, probably after two, because I just knew there were many, but I did not want to go back and look at that number. And this day, the Lord was telling me, you know, Joyce, if I could forgive her and look at her number, I could forgive you too. You know, all you need to do is give it to me. Tell me your story. And so I sat there, and I felt like this blanket of warmth just wrapped me, and through tears, tears that had been long forgotten, finally formed and began to fall. I was so protective of anyone ever seeing what was behind that mask, and that day it came off. And talking about grieving as such a gift from the Lord, just it felt like 1,000 pounds were lifted from me to finally be able to say out loud to my Lord what I had done. And only, and also in that conversation to share with him about the childhood sexual abuse, we know that he had seen it all. He had always been there, but I was the one who chose to run and to hide. You know, I had asked my son, gosh, he's 21 now, when he was 14 years old, we were kind of doing a study on Band-Aids. And I asked him, well, when a person needs to use a Band-Aid, you know, he says, we talked about it being an injury and it needs to heal. And he says, well, you get hurt and you patch it up. Well, let me tell you, the things that I chose to do to try to patch up the holes in my heart that only my Lord could heal, the devastation was tremendous, but it took time, and he began to knit me back together. I didn't understand him as a father in heaven who would rejoice at my returning. And in Zephaniah, it talks about how he sings over us. I didn't see my daddy in heaven that way. I saw him as this lightning bolt, you know, God with the long white robe and the long white beard, and great disappointment in me. And I carried that thought from childhood. And let me tell you, that day as I sat on his lap and gave to him the truth, to begin to know his heart for me was just such freedom. And then slowly we began to look at and walk through and process what I did. And abortion recovery through that very pregnancy center that I went to was a great part. It was a 12-week program. We met once a week, and we walked through the grieving process, just as you have shared. And I want to give a shout-out for my pastor.
Go for it. Yeah, awesome.
Deviate for a second. I actually have two pastors. One is a former NFL football player, and he is a man who is so in love with the Lord, and the love of the Lord just carries over to those that he is called to shepherd. And his name is Brian Schwartz. And the church is Renovation Church in North Denver area and in the Lafayette community. And so when I think of grief and just his heart is as a shepherd, sits down and takes the time to embrace those that are before him, including the story of abortion. And I know many of our pastors do not embrace this sin. And what I learned through this journey, Kim, is this is a sin that is forgivable.
Amen. Joyce Zunis is our guest, and we're going to take a break, and then we'll be back. Phones are open for you at 800-811-3003. We would love to give you a chance to give a shout-out to your pastor. Tell him thank you for all the hard work at Christmas. Joyce, our guest tonight, by the way, is profiled on CradleMyHeart.org if you'd like to learn more about her ministry. She has shared her story on many national platforms, including congressional testimony. She's been on the 700 Club, and she's an advocate for the cause of life. She works as a broadcaster, serving to help others through also post-abortion ministry, speaking ministry, and she serves in the national leadership of 40 Days for Life. She cares for and supports her five living children as a loving mother. More with Joyce Zunis after this quick break. Stay with us.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight, and Happy New Year to you. I don't know if you make a New Year's resolution. Sometimes it seems like less is more. I remember years ago, one of the resolutions I made was to get more sleep, and it was a really good resolution and a really good year. And just this morning, my husband Bruce and I were looking at the Word together. We don't always do a devotional together as a couple, but we happened to be sitting there at the breakfast table, and Colossians 3:16 came up as a cross-reference to Ephesians 5:19. And it just so struck me that, oh, well, that's what I need to do more of in 2014. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." Well, I hope that is how 2014 will work out for me. And I pray the same thing for you. I pray that it will be a time, if you have been broken by abortion, if you have been dragged down by the past, that you will instead let God's word really change your heart, really renew your mind, really bring you this living hope that those of us have found who know that the goodness of God is above all and redeems everything, every single bit of it. And Joyce, I like the way you say my number, because after a while, really, we each have a number, and it really is really nobody's business, for one thing. But for another, it's, you know, God is not surprised by or shocked by anybody's number. He's not surprised or shocked by the scope of anybody's experience. And when we return to Him in repentance, when our hearts break open and that godly sorrow comes in that you've described for us so beautifully and so eloquently, His response is, "I love you, my child." Mm-hmm. You know, all the things that we feared, all the things that we avoided and what we thought was going to happen, it just washes away, it sounds like, from your experience, and I know I can say that for sure.
You know, I was known, at least to myself, as the girl of wrong choices for many years, and when my Lord came beside me and showed me that He is the God of great choices, and that starts with forgiveness, you know, admitting what we have done wrong or what another has forced us into, whatever the situation or the circumstance might be. You know, I was having sex and smoking pot at 13. I was very disconnected. I was woken up by my mom and my brother as I was passed out in a very dingy hotel, pregnated by this guy who was way too old for me. I was dumb. You know, having two of your husbands trade you in for another is very degrading. Being stalked, abducted, and even raped by a man who kills is quite dreadful. But, Kim, I can say I know much about being patched up, but there is absolutely nothing that has compared to the gaping hole left in my life by my abortion experiences. And they pointed to destruction, denial, and death. But I am here to share with your listeners that Psalms 145:18 says, "The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth." Abortion is a painful life experience. It's very intimate, as you just stated. You know, you kind of headlined me as the abortion addictionist. I'll call myself that. The secret of the heart of women who repeat. I can't tell you why others repeat. Yes, there are studies out there that will somewhat point to why we do this. I can only tell you my story. And my story is dipped and seeped in the love of our Father, even in all these wrong things that I did, by surrendering to Him and finding rest and letting go of that secret and getting rid of those band-aids. I am the woman I am today, and I love Him freely. And the story that brought most shame to my past, not any of these other things I just stated, but the choice to terminate the living lives of my little babies, the Lord has redeemed, and He has given me a new song to sing, and that is glory to His name, and others can do this too. You just got to be willing to tell Him that story.
Amen, and thank you. You know, I mean, the art of the headline is to draw people into reading the story. And I'll tell you what, I mean, I could easily have been a candidate for many more than 7 abortions. I simply got caught with a pregnancy one time. Do you know what I'm saying, Joyce?
Yes,
There were many, many wrong choices, many years of wrong choices in my life as well. And, you know, I know that I share my story in hope that people will understand that, you know, we can be shame-free.
Mm.
And there's such a difference between being shameless and saying, well, you know, it doesn't matter, and denial and all the things that we try to do to cope, versus allowing God to actually remove the shame and to make us pure.
Yeah.
You know, I love that your story began with this idea that, you know, the fact that you had been violated meant that purity wasn't an option for you, and yet the pure in heart see God, and you most certainly, Joyce, have attained to that purity.
You know, my God in heaven, your God, our God in heaven is a God of new beginnings, and it's fresh every morning, every moment. And I just want to encourage the listeners to cradle my heart that maybe if your story is similar to ours, but yet you do not have the joy and the voice that we have. I mean, so many say, Joyce, you should sound so sad. Well, I know what I did, but I know what He did. And He set me free by hanging on that cross. And He can do the same for you too, those who are listening who don't know this joy yet. It's just within a whisper away to His ears.
And Joyce, I know that you, we have just a couple of minutes, but there are people who not only are surprised that you and I are not sad, that we can talk about this freely, but that your children, you're a proud and loving mother to 5 children. Give us the 1 minute bit of motherly wisdom about, you know, the fact that this is possible too.
The way this is possible is that they know the story too. Over the years, as the Lord has called me forth to share this story on big platforms to small group settings, I could not do that first by not telling my family. I spoke in words that only their little ears could interpret, and as they grew in their walk with the Lord, the story became bigger. And so I just want to encourage everyone out there that don't be afraid. You know, fear not appears in the Bible 365 times. Well, guess how many days we have in a year. And so rest in knowing that He will give you courage to be who you need to be to your children. He wouldn't have entrusted them to you otherwise. Seek His face, find your voice, find His healing, and tell your story.
Amen. Happy New Year, Joyce. Thank you so much for opening your heart for us tonight and for being our guest. We appreciate it so much.
My blessing.
God bless you. That is it. We are out of time. And to know more about Joyce's ministry, you can go to cradlemyheart.org. And when you're there, leave a comment about what brings you hope, and we'll enter your name in our drawing later this week for the Hope in the Morning Bible from Zondervan. Thanks so much for listening. Back with a recorded version next week, and then live into the new year in 2014, and we hope you'll be part of it. Remember, Jesus loves you, and so do we.